News Radio 94.9, 890 KDXU. It's 8:35. Time for our Focus on Business segment. Today we've got the folks from Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Kaylee and Richard, how are you guys?
Good.
Good morning, Andy, and we are doing great. Again, we're excited to be here and be able to talk about elder care and supporting those people who are supporting the frail and elderly in our community. And we're really looking forward to getting some information out today that we hope is going to be useful. So last week, we didn't really realize the impact that the show would have. We got a number of calls, and we were excited to find that so many of you realized that the questions you didn't even know you should be asking, it was just great to understand that.
And you took the initiative to call to find out more. So let's make sure everyone knows how to reach us if questions arise during today's show. Call Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care at 435-477-6999.
Now, obviously, we are here in the studio right now, so please give us about an hour to get back to the office. But we would really love to hear from you. 435-477-6999. Now, last week we brushed on the concept of being your own medical advocate, and we'd like to go into that more in more detail. It's important to understand that your best health care comes when you take an active role in your own care, when you understand the reasons for the treatment and the results you expect from that treatment. Think about it. If your doctor prescribes a drug or a therapy or a treatment on you, and you aren't sure what to expect or how it's supposed to change you, how will you know if it worked?
Wait a second. Most people know what they are getting treated for. They went to the doctor because they had a problem and the doctor gave them something to fix it.
Well, I agree that we all have some idea of why we're receiving a drug or having surgery. But being your own best medical advocate means you have a complete understanding. Let's look at it in these four steps. Problem, goal, action, and assessment. Step one, as your best medical advocate, define the problem. When you go to the doctor, they're going to ask you to explain the problem. Be prepared to tell them all about it. Have details so that when you go to the doctor, you can help them figure out what might be wrong. And since we don't know the cause, let's not discount any of the details. A good medical advocate will be prepared and already thought about what might be contributing to the problem.
If you are caring for a loved one, you need to be their best medical advocate.
So step two is define a goal and let your doctor know what that goal is. Find out from them if it's achievable. And I make this point because as we age, the conditions we're experiencing may not be curable. If you have a joint deterioration, that pain probably will never go away. So in goal planning, really get involved. Listen to what your doctor's saying.
Sometimes your doctor won't be as clear as you might like. So ask more questions. Restate what you heard and ask if that's correct. If you hear a word or term that you think you understand, stop and ask him to clarify it for you. Be sure you are talking about the same thing. Your doctor wants the best outcome for you, but the best possible outcome may not be total recovery, especially when we age, and the problems may not get completely solved. So good goal setting would include having reasonable expectations, adjusting expectations as needed.
So step three, understand your doctor's action plan. This is known as your plan of care.
Wait, that terminology in healthcare is so uber important. Always find out what your doctor's plan of care is before you leave their office. You may not realize how important those three words are, but if you only get one thing out of this message today, it should be know what your doctor's plan of care is for you. Plan of care, plan of care, plan of care.
Does your doctor's plan of care for you properly reflect your understanding and goals? Does it end up where you hope to end up? And if not, something needs to change.
Consider alternatives. Ask your doctor what the other choices are. There are a lot of treatment options out there. And in fact, in some cases, no action is possibly the best option. Cancer treatment is a great example of this. Right now, the top treatment options offered are surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. And we all know that each of these treatments have severe side effects.
Now, these can be very effective and appropriate under the right conditions. But there are times when they may not be the best option. The best option for you, anyway. The more frail we are, the less effective these treatments may be. As all of these treatments are debilitating, and as we age, we may not recover from a procedure that a 30-year-old might. So ask the hard questions. Find out how high the upside is and how low the downside could be.
There may be times that a surgery is the best option, but your best medical advocate should consider all of the options. If the burden of treatment and their side effects outweigh the benefit that treatment can bring, you might choose not to be treated. You may remember in a previous program we explained how hard it must be for your doctor to come to you with the news that the treatment options are not likely to improve your current situation. To avoid having to say these words, he may continue to offer treatments that are very taxing and hard on your body with a lot of side effects. You need to be your best medical advocate, and you need to ask your doctor when treatments are offered what the likelihood of success is. Does it meet your goals? Be direct and to the point and ask if he believes the treatment option will prolong life as well as give a good quality of life, or are we hoping to prolong for some small increase of life barely worth living? While none of us want to die, I think most of us would agree that we'd rather have 6 good months as opposed to 7 months of suffering with ravaging effects of a debilitating treatment like chemotherapy or radiation may have on us.
And that takes us to step 4. Assess the outcome. Find out what the side effects are. Be more fully informed. There are always potential side effects. Know what they are and know what the likelihood is. When my dad had open heart surgery, he asked to talk to his doctor, who made him very comfortable with his ability to do the surgery. And he also talked to him about his probable outcome, and it was all positive. And the result was that he was going to have a successful surgery and that he would recover. And my dad did. But immediately after the surgery, he was complaining about having mental fog, and that carried on for the rest of his life. And when he started saying that, even in the recovery room, everyone in post-op said, oh, yeah, that's common. But that wasn't part of the conversation before surgery, and he didn't know the correct questions to ask. Now, for the doctor, I get it. He felt the surgery was necessary for my dad, and just giving him more information would have just made it harder for him to make a decision. So I understand that no salesman's going to openly explain the downside of their product, but every credible salesperson will be honest and truthful if the question is asked. So ask the questions.
Maybe we'll do a show on how to ask better questions in the future. Or you can call us. We are happy to discuss your individual situation with you to help you discover the questions to ask in order to get the answers you didn't even know were missing.
Being your own best medical advocate means knowing more about the options you have. And for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, we want you to know more about the options you have when it comes to care in your home. We specialize in hospice care and add a wide array of palliative services to improve and support the clinical care.
Well, we've talked about hospice care, but there are other in-home care services, home care, home health. And what are the real differences between home health and home care and hospice?
This is such a great question because it shows that you understand that you really are the only one that should be making the final decisions for your care. It also shows that you know some of the questions lingering out there that you need to know more about so that you can be your own best medical advocate.
And this was also the most asked question of callers this last week.
To put it simply, home health treats the patient's illness or injury for a limited period of time in their home. It is centered around the patient's needs only, and there are often out-of-pocket expenses to the patient. As far as what services are included, some of the same benefits that hospice covers.
There is some overlap between hospice and home health. You can receive a few of the same services whether you're receiving home health or hospice.
Skilled nursing, like your loving RNs, physical therapists, occupational therapists, social workers, prescription drugs, and medical equipment. Hospice covers all of these and more, like housekeeping, meal preparation, companionship, bereavement, and spiritual counseling. The biggest differences with the services covered is that home health often requires the patient to pay for part of some of those services, and hospice typically has no out-of-pocket expenses to the patient. That's pretty good and relieves a lot of the burdens on families and patients.
Another distinction is home health is really only for the patient, while hospice focuses on the patient, the caregiver, and their family.
Hospice treats the whole person and their family. It emphasizes on quality of life. Hospice is about the living that goes on during the time between the diagnosis of a life-threatening illness and death. It is centered care that addresses the physical, spiritual, emotional, and practical needs of patients with a life-limiting illness.
So the third component, home care, those are the extra non-clinical services you pay for privately, outside of healthcare coverage. Hiring a housekeeper or a companion are home care examples. Usually, when coupled together with home health, it is what hospice covers in its totality. But because you pay for each service separately, home care can be one extra item or several. It just depends on what you and your family can afford.
Okay, so what are some of the reasons that people are recommended to home health or to hospice?
Well, for hospice, it's pretty well understood that doctors will make that recommendation when they feel comfortable that their patient... Telling their patient that no treatment is going to improve their condition.
Once again, you need to talk to your doctor about your goals for a quality of life before you believe you need hospice. You should understand ask all the questions so that you understand your options.
And sometimes home health is offered because no treatment is going to improve their condition, but the doctor doesn't feel comfortable having that discussion with their patient.
Ideally, home health is recommended when the patient is homebound and the services offered would lead to recovery. If you've been in the hospital from an illness or injury and having skilled nursing services for a short time can help you recover from that illness or injury, usually in most cases about 3 weeks, then home health is recommended.
Okay, so maybe you guys can clarify. Aren't most hospice companies home health as well? And isn't home health a direct referral source for a hospice company?
Yes, that is true. We got into this industry because of our own personal hospice experiences and because we truly wanted to make a difference in Southern Utah's palliative care program. And there is no room in home health for all the services of care we are providing.
So we realized that home health bills for each service. So the decision to move a patient, once eligible to hospice, would result in a loss of income for a home health business. We never wanted the question of whether we kept someone on home health too long because it was in the business's best interest to ever come up. As soon as a person is eligible for hospice, it is always their best interest to switch because they're no longer limited by Medicare's restrictions that apply to home health that are not applied to hospice. And hospice is far better coverage for the patient. Many more services are available to both the patient and their family.
And they no longer have to pay anything out of pocket. We decided to specialize on the only reason we chose to start this business in the first place, hospice and palliative care. So let's explore and kind of summarize the difference between home health and hospice a little bit further so that it's a little easier to understand.
Okay, so let's talk about costs. Durable medical equipment, that includes those things that might be delivered.
Can include.
Yeah.
It's a host of things.
Whether it's the hospital bed that adjusts, or oxygen, or a CPAP device, or a wheelchair, all of those are durable medical equipment. And on cost alone, home health, that's covers about 80% through Medicare's Part B, whereas in hospice, all of that is completely covered.
Medications related to the primary diagnosis, on hospice, it's 100% covered. However, on home health, unless you have a separate prescription policy, these can be very expensive to the patient and their families.
What about counseling and other services like that? So social service counseling for the in home health, for the patient only, it's usually covered. But hospice, again, we're more interested in covering not only the patient but family and caregivers. So those social service counseling also are covered for everybody who is related. And that counseling isn't limited to just social services. In hospice, we also cover spiritual care and bereavement. And those things, again, not covered through home health, but covered through hospice.
One of the things that has been commonly a concern for some of our patients has been the availability of help when you're at home being cared for by a caregiver who has no prior experience. Hospice has 24-hour on-call service 7 days a week, including holidays. That's not required by home health. And while a nurse may be available, especially on weekends and holidays, that may not be the case. That may not be available to you. But it's always available to you on hospice.
Because home health is really just a scheduled series of events. And if your plans or your needs don't fit that schedule, home health isn't really adaptable. Hospice, on the other hand, we really do adapt to the circumstances, and we know that circumstances change.
We really are there to allow the families to bring home their loved ones and care for them in the comfort of their own home so that people can have a higher quality of life as they go through dealing with a terminal illness. So we are supplemental care, but we bring a lot of supplemental care. We make it possible for you to care for your loved one at such a critical time.
Short-term inpatient care is also one of those things that's different. Through home health, that's not part of the prescription. It's not part of what is going to be covered under a limited home health program. But in hospice, it is. Short-term inpatient care is when a patient has a problem that can't be dealt with at home well and needs to be able to go into a facility to get that added level of support.
And that's a little different than respite care. Respite care focuses more on the family. It's more of a family benefit. So if you have your loved one at home with you and it's taxing, it's overwhelming, and you need a short period of time to just take a break, much needed getaway or an escape, or maybe you have a wedding in, you know, Salt Lake that you want to attend, but you have your loved one who is not in a position to travel. Respite care offers 5 days of getaway help. Your loved one goes into a skilled nursing facility where they have 24-hour care and you don't have to worry about them. They are completely taken care of. All their needs are being met so that you can take a much-needed break.
So another one, volunteers, volunteer services. Home health doesn't really have any qualifications for that or any ability to implement that, whereas in hospice, not only do we want to bring in volunteers to help with all of the daily living requirements that somebody might have or to help them feel better, even companionship, but it's all included. And we, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, not only try and include that level of service, but in addition through hospice, we're able to provide a much broader array of additional services.
Okay. Can you guys give us some signs maybe that hospice may be the way we want to go?
Okay. So signs that we may be able to notice about our loved ones or ourselves, and those may indicate that, you know, their life is changing and hospice may be more appropriate. So if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, you should talk to your doctor about hospice. Frequent hospitalizations within the last 6 months.
Really over a year. If you've noticed that your loved one is having more episodes that they need to be treated at a quick care center, or they're going to the emergency room, or possibly spending stints in the hospital, that's probably the time that you should ask yourself where you really are in your scenario.
Progressive weight loss. If somebody is starting to lose weight, that probably means that there's been a change in their life. Increased weakness, fatigue, or sleepiness. Recurrent infections. Skin breakdown. Changes in cognitive or functional abilities. And these may not be noticeable day to day, but if you realize that things have changed for your loved one, and they just don't have the same ability to have a conversation, those are those cognitive and functional abilities.
Sometimes when we're with our loved ones on a day-to-day basis, we don't notice the gradual decline. There are always those times that we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, where is our loved one right now? Why are we having so many medical issues? Is it time to ask those important questions of the doctors to honestly know and take account of where your loved one is at that time in their life?
You're right. And again, let's reiterate that the best time to talk to your doctor about hospice is long before you may need it.
But so, those questions are scary. It's scary to hear. Sometimes we don't want to ask those questions because we don't really want to know the answers. But trust me, you do want to know. You want to know before they are so relevant.
That's right. So take that time. Get over that uncomfortable conversation with your doctor just one time so that we can resolve that. So another problem is when we're having problems with our ADLs, our activities of daily living, such as eating or bathing, toileting, walking, dressing. When those things change, it may be time to consider hospice.
And specific declines in condition in general. If you're already having issues, medical issues, and you can see that they've become more progressive, more pronounced, it's probably time to make a checkpoint and talk to your doctor about that.
We've got about 3 minutes left. I did want to ask, you guys are talking about some of the symptoms. What about some of the specific illnesses that are involved where we might think about calling hospice?
That's important because a lot of people think hospice is just for cancer patients. While it is for cancer patients, it's also for COPD. You might be eligible if you have chronic heart failure or lung disease, diabetes in its late stages, neurologic diseases like a stroke, a severe stroke, ALS, MS, Parkinson's, renal failure, liver disease, acquired immune deficiency syndromes like HIV, severe autoimmune diseases like lupus, or even
rheumatoid arthritis.
There you go. I never can get that out.
So those are all some of the actual diseases or conditions that would make us eligible, and it is really a combination of everything in your life that's going to make that determination.
Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is family-owned and in independent business in Southern Utah. We are Medicare, Medicaid deemed and approved.
And a very important distinction is that we are fully accredited by the Accreditation Commission on Healthcare. You may not realize that being accredited is not really a requirement for hospice, but it is a distinction, a symbol, that we provided the highest quality of services. We had to prove that we could go above and beyond Medicare and Medicaid's minimum standard to achieve excellence.
That's true. Not all hospices are accredited. Well, we look forward to hearing from you this week. Call Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care at 435-477-6999 with all of your questions. And we hope that this message has given some thought-provoking questions that you can call us with.
And some of the takeaways that we hope that you get from this is be your own best medical advocate. Be better informed about your conditions. Ask your doctor specifically about your plan of care. If you've gone to see him, he is creating a plan of care. You should know what that is. So again, plan of care, be your own best medical advocate.
Richard Kaley, great job today. Again, that phone number one more time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is 435-477-6999. And you guys need to hurry back to the shop there so that you can get those phone calls, right?
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Have a good week.
All right. Thanks, guys.